You are listening to an Oakland Asian Mom mini episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another mini episode of the Oakland Asian Mom podcast. This is Sarah, and I'm here with Cheryl, and we're both kind of hiding from our kids right now, aren't we, Cheryl?
Yes, I was literally crossing my fingers that my kids don't knock on my door. I locked it, so I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm in
30 minutes.
Yeah, I'm in a closet right now, and also hoping that there isn't an interruption. So today I wanted to give a little bit of an update. If for those of you who heard our Oakland Love Lap episode with Jody, Jill, Cheryl, and Angela, you heard about how they have a couples group that has been going on for 10 years. And the sort of genesis for that was a book by John Gottman, is it The Seven Principles of Making Marriage Work? Something
yes,
like that, right?
Yes, yes.
So anyway, someone after listening to that jokingly said to me, oh, are you going to start an Oakland Love Lab too? Maybe Cheryl, maybe you said that to me. And I'm not quite starting an Love Lab, but I am starting the book with another couple. So it's me, my husband, and then this other couple. And so we are meeting weekly and going through the book together. And I think we're all pretty excited to see what will come out of it.
So did you read chapter one already?
Yes, we read chapters one and two, and now we're on chapter three, which is when you start doing some of the activities.
Okay, what's your first impressions?
So I thought chapter one was a little unnecessary. And then chapter two, I started getting into it more. Yeah, I have a positive impression overall.
Oh, cool. So you learned about what the Love Lab was, and and it's in Seattle, and they observe you in the apartment and all that.
Yeah, I had read about him before in some Malcolm Gladwell book, maybe Blink, I want to say, is about how you can make a reasoned judgment in a very fast amount of time. Mm-hmm. I think that was what it was about. So I had read about the Love Lab before, but I hadn't read the actual book with the principles. So yeah, so we'll see. I'll provide some updates. Hopefully they're all positive.
Cool. And are you meeting with another couple and just debriefing, or how's that part going?
So we'll meet weekly, and I think the goal will be that we'll go through the chapter on our own each week and then kind of debrief and talk about things that we learned, and maybe, you know, even life issues that we're having, or identifying, you know, patterns that the book talks about and whether they're present in our relationships and how to kind of turn that around. So
cool. And so when you're reading it, is it already enhancing your relationship with your husband, or is it exacerbating the existing live issues?
Right now I can't say, since we just went through the intro, I can't say that it's exacerbating it or enhancing it. I feel kind of neutral.
Okay,
I still feel like so we got an intro and then now we're entering into it, so so pretty neutral overall.
Cool. Yeah, that's really exciting. Maybe when we have our Love Lab meeting, we could just also ask you guys how it's going. We could do a little tandem joint Love Lab.
So have you all ever gone through the book again? Like, have you ever felt the need to do a refresher at all?
We might be thinking about doing that. I might bring it up with them just to also give an update. All the husbands of the wives who were on our show, I think most of them listened to it, including mine, and they were all supportive. And they were like, Cheryl, you need to have us on the podcast, I guess, to give a counterpoint. And I'm like, you are welcome to come. We can ask you the same questions and see how it goes.
Yeah, no, that would be a fun episode. We should do that. Yeah, so today we wanted to talk briefly about friendship. I think it's sort of a theme that it's hard to maintain and make new friends as you get older. Mm-hmm. So just kind of what is the state of your friendships today? How, like, what are some words you would use to describe your friendships?
Yeah, I was thinking about this just because as the vaccination rate is rising and now Alameda County is in the orange tier as we record this, things are opening up. Newsom has this June 15 sort of target where things will be really open up. I really don't know exactly what that means. Like, are we all going to be indoor dining soon? It made me think about kind of re-entering, right, post-COVID, even though we're going to be living with COVID seemingly from now on. And it made me a little anxious. And I guess I connect it with friendship is because I've become kind of comfortable having a slower pace of life, even a little bit more of an insulated life. I mean, that's what we've been doing, right, with sheltering in place, as much as a virtual world we live in. I really just hung out with my families in the backyard. We definitely did a lot of family time and a few sprinkling of friends who it was mostly like one-on-ones. We didn't do a lot of play dates because, you know, just because we were more cautious. And I realized that I was pretty content to have like a smaller set of friends. I love having friends. I think I make friends easily at work. I had a much more variety of friends, work friends who became my best friends. One of them ended up being one of my bridesmaids, you know, graduate school friends who I hung out with and studied with. Actually, one of them became my bridesmaids too. You know, post-college friends. I even hung out with my high school friends still. And I think having the freedom to do that and maintain friendships. And I think myself, I am so much of a initiator, organizer, sort of like, let's get people together, a gatherer. I think that was really part of my identity. And it was good for a while. And I think over time, I've become just more introverted. I think some people will say, oh, you really never changed, you know, your personality in terms of the Myers-Briggs, like I am an ENFJ.
Oh, I am too.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
That's another episode. And so they're like, oh, Cheryl, you can never be an introvert. I said, well, this season in my life when I became a mom and a lot of my time is shuttling kids back and forth, I really crave solitude. I just crave quietness, even if it's just 2 hours of doing nothing. And I've seen that proximity makes a difference, right? How literally like how close your friends are in terms of doing spontaneous things, right? Proximity, stage in life. I've become friends with moms who have kids kind of like in the age range of my kids, right?
Yeah.
Just because they could play together. That's a way of connection. I think that's how we became closer to like our two kids were besties at a certain point. Actually, it's so funny. My other son was like, you should ask so-and-so, my kid and your kid, you should ask them to be on your podcast and ask them how they met, how they became friends, what they like to do together. I'm like, wow, okay.
That is really cute, actually.
Okay, that's a sidebar, yeah. to go back, so proximity, stage of life, and I guess values that you're kind of, that come emerge from being coupled up with somebody and having a family. Like you kind of either reestablish your set of values and how you want to like live in this world and what do you want to instill in your kids. So I think those three have been kind of what has been guiding me in my friendships, which is kind of odd. I'm still good friends. Like I think about all my bridesmaids. I had 10 bridesmaids. And I joke with Sarah. Yes, like there's that movie 27 Dresses that came out in like the early noughts. And I think so, right? Catherine Heigl from Grey's Anatomy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be her because I've been a bridesmaid in so many ways. Even though anyways.
But I am curious, how many times have you been a bridesmaid?
if you don't count being a flower girl, I would say 13, 14.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Well, in the Filipino culture, it's not me that much. My baby cousin, who's not a baby cousin, she's like in her 30s. She had 16 bridesmaids in hers. And I was like, woo! I don't feel so bad having 10. So now I think coming out of COVID, it's really about how do I meet people too? Halfway, I kind of want to like rest that being the initiator and are attracted to folks who can also initiate either spontaneous like hangout times or even planned. And a smaller set of folks, I think, has really kind of filled me up in these past years.
I feel like what's interesting about your family is I feel as though you have a lot of family friends in terms of like you all get along, like the couples get along, plus the kids get along, which I think can be hard to find sometimes.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky. Both my side and my husband's side live pretty close, like maybe 10, 15 minutes away. And the kids are also, the cousins are also kind of in the same age range, like 2 or 3 years apart, but still enough to play. Mm-hmm. And we go on vacations together. And yeah, it's sort of a rare thing. And that has been part of sort of our outward bubble during this time. And it's been really sweet. It's been really sweet to see my kids play with other cousins, like they're like blood cousins, mm-hmm. and also their friends and their community, mm-hmm. you know. How about you, Sarah?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I guess kind of, but now that I'm on the spot, I feel like it's hard to articulate exactly what I'm feeling. But one thing that's kind of interesting that I'm observing and maybe in the thick of is, and it's something that you kind of touched upon too, when your values sort of diverge from people who you've been friends with for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like it could be like you take different kinds of vacations or, you know, you just kind of spend your money and your time with your kids differently. And there are some contexts in which I feel that. And I wonder about, oh, will we be excluded or will these friendships sort of not grow because we sort of socialize in a different way? Mm-hmm. So that's something that's kind of on my mind here and there. And yeah, similar to you, I was a fairly social person pre-COVID, and I do also feel anxious about re-entering. And yeah, just like, do I want that life again a little bit? Mm-hmm. But you know, I also really like, there's a bit of a freedom of just having to schedule for your own family without, you know, trying to manage calendars and all of that.
And maybe it's because, can I safely say that me and you schedule most of these social dates in our family?
And I'm almost entirely the one. Yeah, exclusively, the scheduler. Right.
I would say myself too.
Yeah.
And I think my husband would agree. And so I wonder for myself, and I don't mean to put this on you, is having that freedom too is sort of like nice. Like it's like one less responsibility or one less task to do.
Well, because sometimes it's sort of, yeah, like when you schedule stuff with other families and families with kids, you're trying to build relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're trying to spend time together. And part of it is for your kids to build friendships with people. And so that's sort of taken a pause during COVID, but now it's starting up again. And there are things that I welcome about it, but there is some anxiety. In terms of like my own friendships, you know, apart from the kids, I think that I have a handful of friends where we don't talk all the time, but when we do, it's easy to kind of pick up where we start, at where we started from.
Yeah.
So it's easier to go deep pretty quickly. And I think in my 20s, I felt as though I was really an open book and I shared a lot about my life and it was important for me to be vulnerable and authentic. But I have found out that as I get older, I've become a lot more private. Mm-hmm. My mom is a very private person. And so when I was younger, I always thought of myself in contrast to her, you know, sort of high value for privacy. But then as I get older, I find that I am modeling some of that. And so it's interesting. And I think that because I feel like friendship really grows when you're vulnerable and authentic and you, you know, share what's really going on in your life. But yeah, I feel as though there's a block there that wasn't there when I was younger. So that's something that I've been kind of thinking about.
Are there areas in your life that you're more private about, like your relationship with your husband?
I am very private about my relationship with my husband. And I think part of it is because so many people that I'm friends with know him. So I feel like if I have an issue with my husband, I'm more likely to talk about it with people who live far away, like my friends that aren't local, because they aren't as close to him, you know?
Are you doing it to, sorry to segue, go deeper, but is it you fear for protecting his reputation, or like, or is it more like you're just more free to maybe do some rants and raves about?
I think it is to sort of protect his reputation. Not like he's an awful person. My husband's really great. Yes. You know, but all of us have our, you know, strengths and weaknesses. And so I think it feels tricky to talk about things that are going on with him and me to people that know him.
I see.
Which is why I asked that question in the Love Lab episode, like, how does it feel like to talk about your issues with your partner in front of people that know him and are, you know, are friends with him too? So I find that to be a very interesting dynamic. Yeah,
I can relate to that, but I don't think I'm as private. If you met me and my husband, I think if we said, oh, we have some issues or challenges, I think sometimes they would look at me and be like, what's going on with you, Cheryl? Why are you not treating your partner well? You know, that's my own self voice narrative, because my husband is so like, he has a very happy face and he's so chill. He's like from San Diego. So he's like always wanting to wear flip flops and be near the water. I mean, if he just has that vibe, I think, and I'm probably more intense than him. And so I go, oh man, I feel like I have the bad rap. So again, maybe that's my own self-criticism or my fear. And I think I'm really trying not to. Actually, I like what you're saying in some ways, being private and protective, because my mom's voice in me says, you know, her advice is like, you really have to be kind to your husband, especially in front of others. Even kinder to him than your friends in some ways, because he's your person, you know? So I go, okay, I really need to lean in that.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, actually, I should ask him if he talks about me to anyone. His line is always like, oh, there's nothing to like complain about. But, you know, obviously there is, right? He does have a group of friends that meets like every 2 weeks or so. And they just kind of talk about what's going on in their lives. So, you know, that, but I don't feel like he has said to me that he talked about, you know, this issue or that issue. So I actually feel like this Love Lab, our little version of it, will help both of us to be more open about, yeah, kind of what's going on or dynamics that we want to flesh out with other people. So
Sounds like you're willing to kind of open that up a little bit.
Yeah. I think my perspective is it's not going to hurt.
Yes.
Yeah. So if it's helpful, why not do the work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, my question, maybe this will be our last question, is what's your energy like around either maintaining or even making new friends, right?
You know, I find that I'm sort of like open. I'm not doing like the hard work of like trying to make new friends, but like, for example, if there is, it's usually in the context of like a friend of my daughter's, where, you know, the kids get along. So then we'll talk to the parents, and, you know, find that, oh yeah, we wouldn't have really crossed paths if it weren't for our kids, but they're really delightful people. Yeah, but the root of those friendships is still in the kids. So if the kids didn't get along, like probably that relationship would fizzle. Yeah, I'm open, but I don't know if I'm doing a lot of work to find or nurture new friendships.
I totally hear that. Mm-hmm. And I work for the, you know, in the public sector, and my coworkers in there, I feel like I do put a little bit of energy in organizing things. Like, there is something in me that still wants to have my own friends. Is that weird to say? Like, friends really separate. And it's not like my coworkers will never meet my family or whatever. They totally know I have kids and they see them. They've met them. You know, my kids visited me in the office. And that's really sweet. But there is something to have where I can talk to my coworkers about work and stuff like that, and they get it, and not have to talk about other things. So that's right. Always feel like a soft spot, like, because we spend so much time with people at work. Well, maybe, you know, when we weren't working from home, that's a lot of hours to spend in an office.
I find that my pattern with work friends is I always have maybe like one or two really close friends. And that's so important just for, you know, having like a healthy perspective at work and feeling supported. But I feel like my track record for maintaining those friendships once I leave that job hasn't been great. So that's sort of, maybe that's a proximity thing. You know, you're just kind of not interacting with each other, so it becomes harder to maintain. But I hear that.
And in even our faith community, you know, we were part of the same faith community in the Fruitvale, and it's hard to make friends, like new friends, in this COVID era. But I guess I asked myself that question, like, you know, am I open to having new people in my life? And I want to be. But it is, where do I find that energy too? And how do I find folks who kind of like meet me where I'm at right now?
I want to give a little shout out to some old college friends of mine, who I've gotten reconnected to during the pandemic, which has been really sweet, because we were like loosely in touch, but then, so this is the funny part. We all sort of like around the same time became really into BTS.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
We heard about that.
So then now we chat on text like multiple times a day. And then also stemming from that, we started a monthly cooking club where we'll just cook the same recipe and we'll be on on Zoom. And so that has been a pleasant surprise, because, you know, like once you made those friendships in the past, the likelihood that they will kind of grow deeper is, you know, it's not really high. So that's been a nice little pandemic bonus in terms of friendships.
I have an experience like that during COVID. I have one friend who I went to graduate school with, and she really didn't know my husband, just because she was living in SF and I was living here. So the whole proximity, you know, availability time. And in this past year or so, we've been hanging out, and my husband, you know, there's a set of girlfriends that I have that my husband really doesn't know outside of me. And so he just recently said, oh, I really love hanging out with her. And that really warms my heart they really are still getting to know each other, even though we've been married for like 10 years, right? So I think that reminds me that, you know, people in your life, there's a reason that you connected in the first place. There could be opportunities along the way to reconnect and reestablish. And it's just really sweet no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good that's a good way to wrap up this mini episode,
actually.
Yes. Yeah. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And our next episode, we will have the Cesar Chavez Children's Librarian, Annabelle, as our guest. So stay tuned for that one.
Thanks Bye-bye. For listening. Bye.
Take care and don't forget to call your mom.